Good morning and welcome to the radio broadcast this morning. And you'll find out in a couple of minutes that Pastor Fearing is not preaching, but a gentleman by the name of Richard Affell is going to be bringing the message this morning. And we know that you're going to be blessed, and we thank you for that opportunity of listening to radio broadcast from Christian Outreach Center. God bless you, and God bless you, Richard. Amen.
Thank you so much. It's been so wonderful to be here with you today. And I think you're going to be blessed. You know, I've been blessed already with everything that's taken place here this morning. But I do have a word for you today, and I think it's going to be a blessing to everybody. And it's something I believe that speaks about the heart of God. And so just turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 10. The Gospel of Luke and chapter 10. And I'm going to start reading from verse 25. Luke chapter 10, verse 25. One day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question: "Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" The man answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "Right," Jesus told him, "do this and you will live." The man wanted to justify his action, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Now go and do the same." One day I was praying and I asked God, I said, "What is the main thing that you want us to bring to the world?" And as you know, I'm doing missions work now in Nicaragua. Well, maybe you don't know, but we've been working in Mexico for many years, and now I've been to Nicaragua 4 times, the second poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. And I asked the Lord, what is it that you want us to show people more than anything else? And the thing that came to me is God put it in my heart that he wants people to know how much he loves them. Amen. You know, we could end it right there. And that's what I've been hearing this morning in the songs and in the messages this morning about God's love, about forgiveness. I heard forgiveness. I heard praise, thankfulness. And God wants people to know his love. This is why we go on to the mission field. This is why we minister to our neighbors. This is why you're involved with the Angel Tree. Because you are showing forth God's love to a world that is hurting, a world that is desperate, a world that does not know which way to turn, a world without hope. And yet in God, we find just the opposite. We find peace. we find his love, we find forgiveness, we find fulfillment. Everything that you're seeing, the violence and the anger in the world, is just opposite in God, because his world, his kingdom, is a kingdom of good news. The gospel is good news, and we're bringing good news to people. I tell people, don't get too politically minded, because it can get really negative. And before we know it, we start talking the things that we've heard, and we become negative also. And we say, well, what if this happens and that happens? And we talk about the economy and all these things. I want to tell you that God's system is the best system you can be a part of. And when your house is built on the rock, no matter what the storms bring along, the house is going to stand. It's not going to fall, because you've built your house on Jesus Christ. And no matter what happens, no matter what comes along, no matter how rough the seas get, the boat is not going to sink. But this lawyer that came to Jesus, he says, how do I get eternal life? So Jesus told him. What was the first thing he said? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And I looked up each of these words, and one of them, the mind, means even your thoughts. Are we loving God with our thoughts? One of the biggest killers, I've always believed this, of diseases and problems that we have is anxiety and worry. I really believe that. And I'll tell you, if we have the peace of Christ, you will have joy in the midst of terrible circumstances, because joy is something that happens within you, not externally. And so God's peace is available to us even this morning. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And so I seen that this lawyer, he knew the word. He knew Deuteronomy chapter 6, where this said this. And the Jews, this was actually a part of a Jewish prayer, Shema, that they were to say every day. Now think about this. They were commanded to say this prayer every day, and this is what they say. They said every day, I will love the Lord my God with all my heart. I will love the Lord my God with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my mind, and I will love my neighbor as myself. They said that every day. You know, that would be good for us to say every morning, I'm going to love you, God, with all my heart, no matter what happens. I'm going to love you and I'm going to praise you, because you're my Father, you're my God. And you'll find God turn your situation around. But this lawyer, he wanted to justify his actions. The word justified there comes from the word righteousness. He wanted to show that he was right, and he wanted to make sure, because the Hebrew people believed that to love their neighbor as themselves, their neighbor was the Hebrew people, was the Jewish nation, the covenant nation. So he says, yeah, I'm to love my Jewish brothers just as I love myself. Well, then now Jesus, this is why Jesus came, and he turned his story and turned that word. And when Jesus used the word neighbor, it means everybody in the Greek and Hebrew. Black, white, yellow, doesn't matter what ethnic group, doesn't matter where they came from. You know, there's a lot of turmoil in this country over immigration and over all kinds of situations. But you know, in God's eyes, he's literally bringing the mission field to us, and he expects us to love all people with his love. God, remember, keep this in your mind. Put this in your Bible, in the front or back. Put this in your note. Above everything else, God wants people to know how much he loves them. That is our responsibility. We've been given a ministry of reconciliation. We're reconciled reconciling the world to God. That means making them right with God through Jesus Christ. That's why he died. And so we see this lawyer now, he hears this story about this Jewish man that got beat up and robbed and left for dead. And now here comes along a despised Samaritan. The Samaritans were despised by the Jewish people because they were considered half-breeds. They were mixed marriages with the Gentiles. So they would not accept the Samaritans. The Samaritans had their own temple. They had their own place of worship. They didn't have anything to do with the Jews. The Jews would walk around the Samaritans. So now here's this despised Samaritan coming and helping this Jewish man. What does that tell us about immigration? I don't want to meddle here, and I'm not going to get political. But what I'm saying is we have a responsibility as Christians to reach people with the love of God. Do you want to see this church filled?
Amen.
It's with God's love that will fill this church. That's the bottom line. That's what God's been telling me. This is why we go on the mission field. One of the interesting things as I was praying and meditating, what came to me is intercession carries the burden of the world. Missions carries the burden of other countries or people groups. The church carries the burden of the community, and the individuals carry the burden of their neighbors. Missions carries the burden of other countries. And so, other people groups. And so we see that Jesus had told us, remember, to carry one another's burdens. This church is carrying the burden of this community. Whether you know it or not, the church has a responsibility as ambassadors of Christ Jesus, representing him, to carry the burden of this community, whatever it may be. We have a responsibility. And so our individual burdens, that's why we need each other. Because of our personal burdens, like Pastor was praying this morning for those that were brokenhearted, those that were hurt, those that were suffering. We've come to this house of hope, and we receive. I repeat every prayer. I repeat every prayer. I believe in getting involved, because when somebody comes up here with God's message or God's word or something by the Holy Spirit, I want to receive it. I'm a glutton. I'm a spiritual sponge. I want to receive everything I can from this place, because when I walk out of this door, I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I am the light of the world. I am the salt of the earth. That's what Jesus said. We are the light of the world. There is no other light, believe me. There is no other way to the Father but through Jesus Christ. If the church fails, there's no other second plan. But I heard this morning that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. We're not going to fail. So when the pastor or somebody else comes up here, I want to encourage you, take every word that he says in, because the Holy Spirit is speaking through him or through others that are being used of God or through the songs. Listen for God's voice. Listen for the move of the Holy Spirit and be a part of it. You know, when we worked with street kids, we learned the principle and the power of God's love. Agape love is an active verb. It's action. You know, in order for you to really experience God's love, you have to get involved. You have to get involved. People would say to us, how could you love those street kids in Mexico? Well, at first, we didn't. We didn't love them. We had a burden. Everything starts with a burden. We had a burden. We didn't know how to reach the street kids. We didn't know how to minister to them. We were frustrated because we were trying to see them changed, and we weren't seeing it happening until one day God said to us, "You love them, and I'll change them." It lifted so many weights from our heart that now we have our biggest responsibility is to show people the love of God. That's not difficult. Jesus told this guy, kind of popped his bubble, this lawyer, because he said, "You're to do it to everyone, not just the Jewish people." And then, now this one, you better put your seatbelt on, because Jesus took it even farther in Matthew chapter 5, if you want to look there. And I don't hear many sermons on this, to be honest with you. But in Matthew chapter 5, I want to read to you, starting with verse 43. You have your seatbelts on? "You have heard the law that says, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy,' from the Old Testament. But I say, 'Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you.'" I didn't hear one amen, Pastor. "Pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven, for he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect." The word is actually mature, "even as your Father in heaven is perfect." Now listen, a mature Christian will love those that don't love them. It's called agape. Agape love does not expect anything in return. That's hard. You say, how can you do that? How is it possible to love people that hate you? And I could really meddle here. How can I love them? You can't. Only God can through you. He's given you his love for a reason. But it's up to you to release it. Let me tell you a story here. Some of you may have heard this before. Corrie Ten Boom, who was in a Nazi prison camp with her sister, suffered immensely. Her sister was very close to God and actually was a mentor or was teaching Corrie. And Corrie was so mad at the guards, at times she wanted to take her shovel and she could just see herself with a pick or something hitting the guard with it. But her sister said, no, just pray for them, pray for the guards. Well, her sister ended up dying in the camp. She was the weaker one physically, and she ended up dying in the camp. And Corrie Ten Boom was let loose by a clerical error, and she was freed. A few days later, all the women her age died. She was let loose, but her sister had said to her, while in the prison, when she was dying, said to her, "You're going to bring this message, God's love, all over the world." And Corrie says, no, you're the one. You're the spiritual one. Her sister goes, "No, you are. God has chosen you to bring his message of love to the world." Well, Corrie began ministering, traveling, and preaching about the love of Christ, the power of God to save and deliver. And she went to a German church. This was, of course, after the war and everything had changed. And she went to a church. She was invited back to Germany into a church. And she was preaching about God's love and God's forgiveness. You know, it's one thing to preach it and one thing to say it and another thing to do it. It's easy to preach it until you've been hurt. I've heard people say this to me, you don't know what they've done to me. You don't know what I've been through. No, I don't, but I know somebody that does. And he's a healer. He heals the brokenhearted. He delivers the captive. I know somebody that can help you. And his name is Jesus. And she's preaching in this church about forgiveness. And this man, after the service, comes up from the back of the church. And she recognizes him as one of the guards from that prison camp. And all these feelings from the past of how he would beat the women and all these things begin to rise up. All this anger. You know, people, there's stuff in us sometimes we don't even know what's there until something triggers it. You don't know what's down in your heart. The Bible says the heart is evil. Because we don't know what's been put there from past abuse or past hurts or something somebody did to you that is still there bothering you. And it triggered it in her, but he didn't recognize her. In fact, he had accepted the Lord now, and he was sorry for what he did, and he came up to shake her hand to tell her what a good message that was. And for that instant, she couldn't lift her hand because all this anger began to come out. How can I shake his hand? How can I forgive him? But she knew that if she didn't, her ministry was over. And she said, just by faith, she reached her hand out to shake his hand. And she said when she grabbed his hand, she literally felt God's love flowing out from her to that guard. And she could say, I forgive you. Because it wasn't her, it was God's love and God's forgiveness. She literally felt it leave her hand into his hand, and he felt it, and he had tears in his eyes because God's love is powerful. It'll break people down. It'll cause them to receive healing. It will deliver them from demonic influences. God's love is the most powerful force on the earth, and we need to release it. The world needs it now. They need it now, desperately. I'm not talking about a passive tiptoe through the tulips. I'm talking about a real powerful force that literally drove Jesus to the cross. Not my will, he said, but yours be done. If it be possible, pass this cup from me. He knew that he was going to be separated from his Father. He had never before been separated from his Father in all eternity. He knew he had to take the sins and the sicknesses and all the wickedness upon his body. It literally broke his heart. He had never experienced that before. He was all God, but he was all man, and he knew what he had to face, and he prayed so hard that his sweat turned to blood. We don't realize the sacrifice that Jesus went through because of God's love literally pushed him to the cross. God says, I love the people too much. You have to go to the cross. You have to be separated from me. You have to die. You have to, because my love says you have to do it so I can woo my people back to myself. Come on. That's the power of God's love. There's no demon can fight against it. There's no enemy that will win. Even the devil himself will fall to his knees before the name of Jesus, because he's hatred. The devil is a thief and he's hatred. He's the opposite of God's love. That's why we're going to win, because we have the love of God in our life. We don't have a religion of hate. We have a religion of love if we'll walk in it. If we'll walk in it. And so Corrie Ten Boom learned a very powerful principle. It's not how we feel. It's not because our feelings are up and down. It's knowing we have God's love. And there's no respecter of persons with God. And we can release that love by faith. Did you remember what the Bible says? That faith worketh by love? I would ask God all the time, what does that mean? Because you hear a lot of messages on faith. I've preached a lot of messages on faith. You got to have faith. But if you don't have love, faith isn't going to work. I mean, the Bible says you can do things with faith, but it's going to crash without the love. Faith works by love, my friends. Love causes you to do things you would never do and love people you could never love. Why did Jesus hang around with the prostitutes and the thieves and the robbers and the tax collectors and all the bad people? Because of the love of the Father was operating through him. And because he wanted to see them come to the Father, he said, it's those that need the physician. I am the great physician. They need the healing. They need the mending. They need to be repaired. Actually, that word, I won't turn to it because of time, but the scripture verse that says we are ambassadors for Christ Jesus and we have a ministry of reconciliation. The word actually means to mend what is broken. We have the ability through Christ to mend what has been broken. And to it also means wholeness. What does that mean? That means that God will make people complete. Complete. Not 80, 90%. My son, who is going through post-traumatic stress syndrome from the war. I never understood what it was until I had to deal with it. We never really know what people go through unless we have to walk in their shoes. That's why I never judge anybody else. I never, never, never say, oh, you must lack in faith. You don't have enough faith. I never do that. I never do. Never judge another person. But I learned a lot through my son on the power of God to heal and to be able to love him. And if you've never seen somebody that's really suffering from that, we've got all these troops coming back. A lot of them have different degrees of this terrible thing that brings back what they've done, brings it back to them and just tries to destroy their lives. And the only answer the government has is to try to give them drugs to ease the pain. And so my son has experienced it. They want to keep him on drugs to ease the pain. I want to tell you something. We don't need drugs to ease the pain. Jesus can do it supernaturally. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And now my son calls. He called this morning, 7 o'clock. He calls. And when he needs prayer, he'll say, he always asks for mom first. Something about mom. And he'll say, can you pray for me? I had a bad dream last night. And we pray, and we know God, he's already, he's taking half the medication he did before, and we're seeing that restoration come back. And sometimes, you know, God's healing is quick, and sometimes it's a process, but he is the healer. He's the healer of the emotions, of the heart issues, of the physical body. Everywhere Jesus went, he healed people. I'm going to close this message. And I want to pray for those that maybe have burdens. I want to tell you, Dwight really hit the nail on the head. And Brother Dwight, don't be offended by this, but I felt that the people were to come up, because he hit it on the head, and I know he's thinking of time and things. He's gracious in that manner. But I really felt like he did hit it on the head. One of the things was forgiveness, brokenheartedness. I thought he's right on my sermon. It's not mine, it's the Holy Spirit. It's God's sermon. And people that are carrying burdens here that you don't need to carry. And so I have confidence that Jesus is here to lift those burdens off your shoulder. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. We've got to get past that. Oh, look at so-and-so. I didn't know they had a need. I want to tell you, we all have needs. Sometimes we just keep it in and let somebody else receive. God showed me that once, that when there's curtains over our heart, and when you open up the curtains, the sunlight comes in and the warmth comes in and the healing comes in. The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings, or healing beams. And sometimes, because of hurts, we don't want to be hurt anymore. We keep the curtains closed, or we just open them up a little bit. Remember our sister that said the sun beams and the covenant we have? And well, God wants, it's up to us to open the curtains and to allow his healing in and to make us whole. Whenever I see Jesus in my heart, from what people have done, when they come to God, no matter what they've done, whenever I see Jesus, he always has his arms outstretched to receive them. I've never seen Jesus go like this, no. Never. He's always ready. That's what agape love is. You know, God can't help but to love you because he is love. It's his nature. If it was your nature, you can't help to do it. When we learn to God's love over these street kids, we've seen so much success, and we've seen so many kids set free because of that powerful love. It wasn't my sermons. It wasn't my preaching. We would pray that when we touched them, they would sense God's love. And many times they said that they could sense the presence of God. You can release it, see, into people. You can release it into the world. You can release it into rough situations.